West West, y'all. Now here's Clark again. Oh, through again he goes. He's got Satutu with him. Pass it to Ioane, in fact. And Rico Ioane's going to score. What a brilliant play from Caleb Clark, and the Blues are in again.
Better back this near side for Vince Arso.
Kia ora, talofalava, and welcome to the Counter Ruck, a podcast where we discuss all things rugby. I'm the host of the Counter Ruck, Stacey, so thanks for joining us for another episode. We're joined today by the host of the Pitch Podcast and one of the senior Wiz Wiz columnists, Mr. Joey Nanai. Joey, mate, thanks for jumping on us.
Thanks for having me. Once again, happy 2024.
Yeah, good to be back. 2024, that's right. I'll take care of some housekeeping before we get into it. So check out our website, www.wizwiznet.com. And don't forget to click the Support Us button on the page to keep the content flowing. We've got some exclusive content available for our supporters, so definitely some additional benefits there. I'll also mention you can follow the Counter Ruck on Twitter and Facebook, so give us a follow and give us a like on there. We've also got releasing just something that we're starting up new, is the Wiz Wiz Sports Magazine. So we just started out west, got our first issue out, so check it out there on some stands, and we'll try and get some out to other areas soon. So definitely something exciting for us in 2024. But also, yeah, it's been a while since our last show. We finished up, I think, after the World Cup, our World Cup review show way back in November last year. So just wanted to do a quick catch up. How have you been, mate? And what have you been up to over the summer months?
Yeah, well, a whole lot of nothing much. A little staycation. Yep. Believe it or not, I haven't even been to the beach yet.
Okay.
Super busy with work. But it's been good. Been enjoying the sunshine. Getting out there and having a good walk. Yeah, nothing rugby, really.
Nice. At least you'll stay active.
Since the last Super Rugby and international fixtures.
Good to hear you're doing some walking, though. At least you're staying active. I've been still doing a lot of the drinking and the barbecuing side. But, good to be back. Got a trip away to Australia for a week for my daughter's fifth birthday. But, yeah, other than that, that 1 week off, straight into work. So, been pretty full on. But, we're back into it now with the Counter Ruck this year. So, hopefully, big 2024 ahead. And we'll start there. Super Rugby starting up this weekend, so a good opportunity to do some team previews and get some predictions. So we've had some feedback that we don't talk much about some of the other teams, so I thought this might be a good opportunity to do that now. So I know, like myself and you, Joey, we're Blues supporters. Rog likes to talk up his Chiefs, but now with this preview, the opportunity to look at some of the other New Zealand teams. But we'll start with the team that we know. We'll start from the top of the North Island and then work our way down. So we'll start with the mighty Blues. Blues first up. So I'll go through a couple of things with you first, mate. A few changes. I'm just pulling some stuff up now. So Leo McDonald, the coach, he's moved on to help the All Blacks out. So Vern Cotter steps in as the new head coach. Some of the key departures, some of the key leavings, Nepo Lolala, Hodgman, Alex Hodgman, James Lay has left, Tom Robinson, RTS, back to the Warriors, and Bodie. Bodie's gone to Japan, take the money, all moving on, so some big losses there. They do get back Angus Ta'avau, some young, exciting players, I'll say. So third place last year. But Joey, mate, I know this is a team close to your heart, so just give me some initial thoughts on the what's your initial take on the Blues for 2024?
Well, things are looking positive, as they always do this time of year for the Blues. Once again, consecutive years now, they've in the preseason managed to get one over our neighbours, the Chiefs, which is where I live. Here in Chiefs country. But it's always the one during the season that counts, not the actual preseason. So hopefully they can carry on this early confidence booster, if you like. I wouldn't say the word form at this point, but confidence booster is probably more accurate. Really looking forward to seeing how the team comes together and gels with new blood and post the RTS and Bodie era. I don't know if Bodie will come back at some point, but yeah, be good to see. Be good to see how it looks at present with the new coaching staff and new players.
Yeah, yep, I agree with that. Nice thoughts there. We've got a bit on at the moment. Just wanted to have a look at probably an area close to your heart, mate. Lolala gone, Hodgman gone, James Lay,
yeah,
all gone. So any issues you might see there up front and with the set piece side of the game with the Blues? Some big losses there.
Absolutely, and fortunately for the Blues, they've still got a couple of old heads there that in the front row that can help carry things along. But they will need all they can get in terms of experience and leadership, especially in the front row and the type five, due to the fact that, you know, those a lot of All Blacks caps have left with, you know, the mountain, man mountain that is Nepo Laulala. And all the best to him over there. I think he's gone to Toulouse, is it?
I think so. Yeah. It doesn't say where or he's Japan. Gone to, but yeah.
Toulouse or Japan. Yeah, so say,
but he's gone for probably double the money.
Yeah.
He's getting here.
So, you know, that's a huge loss to the Blues, especially in his scrum time, as he always seemed to hold his own. Also, it's exciting that, you know, these positions have become available for, you know, young up-and-comers who may be hungry. And that's exactly what it's going to need. It's going to need young up-and-comers who are absolutely hungry and rearing to go and willing to vie for a spot in the, you know, the teams week in, week out, because that's what it's going to come down to. It's not going to come down to one guy holding the position, having a mortgage on the position even for the whole season, like Nepal did. So, yeah, it's up for grabs. It'll be exciting to see who actually takes the ball by the horns and makes this jersey their own.
Yep. Yeah, I agree with that. So that's a bit of a concern there. What was I going to say? Ofa's still there. Ofa Tungafasi's still around. And Tav old back, so hopefully they can plug some holes there. 11 All Blacks as well, so nothing to be sneezed at. But, yeah, I'm similar to you. I'm always a bit bullish on the Blues. You know, Rogers mentioned this previously, so I've said that he's not here because I know he's always got a bit to say about the Blues. But, no, the Blues preseason champs again, mate. 3 from 3 we won in the preseason. So, I don't know. They need to do something that the NRL does, you know, have a preseason challenge or something, because we are amazing at preseason challenges and stuff. But, yeah, there's a few young guns coming through. I watched one of the trials there. It was a young centre I quite like the look of. Corey Evans, who looks good. Anton Senior is another one who, real promising players who, you know, if all goes well, they could really kick on here and claim some spots there. So I'm pretty confident the Blues are going to look good, although I said this every year. And it's a real logjam in the loose forward. So Hoskins, which we know, Dalton Papali'i, Akira, that's probably been the starting first choice back row for, you know, the last 3-4 seasons. But they got some guys, Senior I mentioned, Adrian Choate, who's been really good. So some depth there. So, yeah, I'm quite bullish. Like I said, I think they might, I say this every year, but honestly, I quite like the look of them. I think they're going to go good. I think they might be, yeah, I'll say it, I think they're going to win it.
Mm. Yeah. Well, that's a bold statement, yeah, mate.
Yeah, yeah, and I've said it a few years, so right on the podcast, like, oh, here's that guy going off on his team again. But, yeah, honestly, those losses sound significant, but once we go through the teams and you see the rest of the teams and who they've lost, there's quite a bit there. So a lot of new guys coming through, as you'd expect at the end of a World Cup cycle. So Super Rugby at these times around, straight after a World Cup, is always really interesting. Anything else you wanted to mention about the Blues before we look at a little bit down the road?
Coaching staff. I think it'll be quite interesting to see how the players actually react and engage with the coaching staff. Now that Rangi's gone, it's obviously going to be bring a lot of change that the players aren't used to, and it'll change a lot of the dynamics and the thinking around what type of game they want to play this season, whether they want to play the expansive game that Blues are well known for, or play it safe, you know, and go for the, you know, the percentages. So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see how the coaches play a role in this whole season.
And that call might actually go across a few teams because, you know, we know that Robertson, he's taking over the All Blacks coach, and that's difficult for the Crusaders. But the assistants he took, he basically gutted a few of the other Super Rugby teams along the way. So that coaching call, that could you could say that about a few teams. So that's actually quite interesting and a good point you make there, Joey. But we'll take a peer down the road to Mount Smart and look at Moana Pasifika. So quite an interesting team here. A lot of changes. Levi O'Moore, he was Moana Pasifika Player of the Year in 2022. And he's been picked up from the Crusaders. Timothy Tawatawa Nawai, Player of the Year in 2023. And he's been taken by the Highlanders. Mm. And both could potentially push for All Blacks considerations. So I don't want to get into our predictions from 2 years back, Joey, when we mentioned that Moana Pasifika was really a sixth New Zealand Super Rugby team in disguise, you know, that whole kind of law debate.
Yeah.
But they have taken the two best players from Moana Pasifika. So make of that what you will. on a positive note, I will say some really good pickups. So Sione Havili from the Crusaders, he looks promising. Probably couldn't get a crack in the Crusaders with their logjam in the back row as well. And James Lay, who I mentioned earlier, he's left the Blues to try his luck with the Moana Pasifika team. And Julian Savia, another guy, maybe past his best, but he's decided to chuck his lot in with Moana Pasifika. They've got a host of young players, but, you know, they did finish last in 2023 with only one win. So Moana Pasifika, mate, any thoughts there? What are you making of them?
I think it's good that they've added a ton of experience there with, you know, obviously the coaching side of things, Tano Manga, Whaalongo Tano Manga, also Julian Savia. I think it's quite good at the end of his career that he's still going, but obviously this time with Moana Pasifika, as things didn't go as planned with the Canes, I'm guessing. And he has a great opportunity to break the record, try scoring record, as the number one try scorer of all time in Super Rugby. He's got one left to either tie that or beat it. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to him getting that record this season or getting the opportunity to get that record. Obviously, their experience, him and Tana, will obviously be there alongside Christian Lialii Whanau and Sikope Kepu. So it's time for those four, especially to really let their experience shine through to those other players around them, and, you know, bring out that untapped talent that Moana Pasifika have. You know, there were some key losses in Moana Pasifika with Timothy, like you said, Levi Amoa, Levi, or whatever you want to call him. But it'll be interesting to see how he goes over there at the Saders. But yeah, I think they've got a squad there that has some really good fringe players, players that are known as fringe players that weren't given the opportunity in other franchises, but they do have this opportunity here at Moana Pasifika to shine because they're given these spots now to really make the jersey their own. So, and I'm talking about guys like D'Angelo Lewila, who I'm a fan of, Jonathan Taumatene, you've got Lalomilo, who's another exciting player with ball in hand. You've got, who else was there? There was What's his name? Sione Haavili in the loose forwards. You've got some really good players there in the forwards and the backs. So it'll be interesting to see how they get on, how they gel together this season.
Yeah, good thoughts there. The back row I really like too. And I think I've talked a lot about the back row so far, but Motunga, Alamanda Motunga, he's good. Miracle, he was probably the find for them last year. Sione Haavili, who I talked about, and Funaki. So there's some guns there and some depth. So that's an area I think they might be able to compete in. They finished last, so I don't think they're going to finish last. But, yeah, I don't know if they're going to finish sort of higher than 10th.
Mm.
Yeah, I think they're still going to be in the bottom three. Did you want to touch on that whole?
Yeah.
Omoa, their two best players, player of the year, both being snapped up from other teams? Or did you want to leave that one?
Oh, yeah. So that's quite, it's quite sad, but it's also great for those players that they get to progress their careers with well-established franchises. We all saw it coming. You know, when they first put this team together, this franchise together, we knew this was going to happen. People told us, no, it's not. And here we are, right? It's happened. So don't want to say I told you so to all the naysayers from 2 years ago, but look, it's happened. And there's nothing really we can do about it. They've moved on. They've been signed by these other New Zealand rugby franchises. And it is debatable for a lot of people whether it was New Zealand rugby's plan all along. We could see it, right? We could see this happening. We knew it was going to happen. But yeah, I guess it's make do with what you have and make the most of the opportunities that may arise. So good luck to Moana Pasifika and good luck to those two guys who've moved on.
Yeah, nice there. I think when we were talking about it way back when the whole debate about who was going to get in, which Pacific team was going to get in, I think we talked about, well, this is going back but maybe 20 years, odd years ago, they had the Pacific Islanders team. And I remember the two players that really stood out was Sivi Vatu and Sione Lawaki for the Pacific Islanders. They played against the All Blacks and the South Africans and that. And I thought, well, that might be good for Pacific Rugby. That's how they presented it at the start. This Pacific Islanders team is a team that's there to promote Pacific players and give them more opportunities, blah, blah, blah.
Mm.
And those two best players, Sivi Vatu and Lawaki, they were in the All Blacks, like, you know, 2-3 months after that. So,
yeah.
Sort of a bit of a, you know, full circle, a couple of best players being snapped up as well, which is unfortunate because you think Tawatawa Nawai and Levi Moore, they weren't wanted by the five franchises at the start. So they really only got their opportunity in Super Rugby because there was that 16. And like you said initially, it's a lot of sort of fringe guys or a lot of guys who had been overlooked by the five franchises at the start. Sort of getting an opportunity, and those two, to their credit, have taken it, and they've been snapped up. So I wouldn't be surprised if they kick on from here, and maybe Omoa especially, I've got really like, so I think he might have a really good shot at being an All Black in the future. So yep, they're just gonna have to make do with what they got and run with what they got. So hopefully it'll be interesting to see who the next player of the year is this year, what happens with them. Hopefully it's someone who's already, been playing for Samoa or whoever for a bit, so he won't potentially leave. Anything else, mate, for you on Moana Pasifika before we make a move down to your neck of the woods?
No, mate.
Yeah. Nico Jones, another guy, he had a lot of promise. I remember when we was at St. Peter's, he was the next someone, and he hasn't been able to nail the spot there. I think he's playing in the USA now, so another one of those young guys who just didn't get a shot. But he's still young fella, so he might make his way back. And I see Lincoln McClutchie, who I quite liked, from first five from Hawke's Bay. It doesn't look like he's been picked up by anyone.
Mm.
I might have to fact check that. But he's no longer on the team, which is a strange one.
Yeah, so
some big squad changes. I think they've lost 26 guys from last year. So it's almost team off at the moment for them. But you know, see how they go. But that brings us down to your neck of the woods there, brother. A quick trip down State Highway 1 to the city of the future, I'll say, and home of the Chiefs. So we'll go through some of their ins and outs. Again, massive losses. So Retallick, Sam Kane, Peter Gustavakula, Brad Weber, Alex Nankivell gone, Bryn Gatlin gone, Ta'avol's gone up to the Blues. And yeah, and a few others. So quite some massive losses. Some of the all-time best ever players leaving for that franchise. And yeah, not a lot coming in, to be honest. Jimmy Tupou, I'll say, someone who played for the Blues. He's decided to return to New Zealand rugby after some time overseas. Caleb Trask, another guy who was sort of on the cusp of potentially doing something. He's back from wherever he was. And Ruben O'Neill from the Crusaders. He's made the trip over to the Chiefs. So, runners-up last year. Mate, I know that's your neck of the woods there, Joey. Talk us through how you're seeing the Chiefs.
I think it's well overdue that old mate Clayton McMillan gets a title. And, you know, the players under him this season are looking quite exciting. It's going to be nice to see, because I watched the NPC last year quite closely as I was at the stadium, the home games, watching Quinn Tupaia come back from, you know, his knee injury. And he'll be a welcome piece in that midfield for the Chiefs. And alongside Anton Leonard-Brown, that'll be quite nice to see those two together. Obviously, those key losses that you named, Sam Kane, Brody Retallick, Brad Weber, and Peter Gustavakula. Peter Gus, unfortunately, he was someone who was hugely affected by, you know, the loss of his dear friend and fellow chief. It was something that really affected his game and his off-field presence as well. As he, you know, word around the way was he often went missing and found it quite hard to adapt to life without his brother. So, and rest in peace, Sean Wainui, and condolences again to his family. But yeah, the positives this year that I see are in the backline stocks, where they've got some good talent there already, and they've got some guys who are yet to make a name for themselves, yet to make a mark. I'm quite biased and excited to see Etienne Naisiatoro there again. Sean Stevenson, another one to see back there again. Anton Leonard-Brown and Quinn Tupaia, like I said. But it'll be interesting to see how much game time they give to Joshuane and Damian McKenzie at first five, because they're both going for the first five position. But they're also, Damon McKenzie, more than Josh, is known as a utility player that can play fullback as well as he does at first five. So be interesting to see how they use Damon McKenzie, DMAC. And I think the most interesting thing for me as a forward is to see how the front row goes first and foremost. You know, you've got Aiden Ross, you've got guys like Jared Prophet, George Dyer, but Aiden Ross is probably the most experienced of the lot. And then you've got the hookers, Brad Slater, Tyrone Thompson, and Samsoni Tokeyaho. So it'd be good to see Samsoni get some game or match fitness before the internationals, as you know, we all expect him to be there or thereabouts. In the locking department, you've got guys who have been there for a few seasons now: Josh Lord, Naitoai Kui, Tupou Va'ai, and Jimmy Tupou is coming in there. So yeah, it's going to be I think the Chiefs' season to lose, based on how they finished up last year, the momentum they had as a core squad, and the way I see them this season coming together, you know, they will do exactly what they did last season, I believe. They will make it all the way to the final, and then it's up to them whether they choke again. Pause. Or let that sink in. Or, you know, whether they take the whole thing this time. So, you know, I myself am biased. I want the Blues to go all the way and win it. But we'll see. There's a lot of changes that have happened at the Blues, more so than the Chiefs and possibly other teams as well. But, yeah, it'll be interesting to see the Chiefs. Good luck to them. I want to see some exciting running footy. And, yeah, like I said, Clayton McMillan probably deserves to have a title.
Yeah, it's sort of interesting. McMillan, he's been, I wouldn't want to say forgotten about, but when the All Blacks coaches were named, you know, obviously Robertson was going to get it. And the selectors he went for, I thought that McMillan, if you're going to pick someone based on their Super Rugby, man, what he did, taking over from Warren Gatland, who's, you know, widely regarded as one of the all-time great coaches. And he improved them so much compared to what Gatland was able to get them to. Mate, he's been slipped on a little bit. So, and you know, to keep their coaching staff relatively intact, I will have to check about what's happening with all the widest coaching squad. But yeah, for them to still have McMillan, that's a good point and a crucial cog in their machine. So, yeah, good thoughts there. I'd really like to see Tupouva'i step up, you know. He's been the second guy behind Retallick, and he's sort of been in and around the All Blacks for a bit now. Mm. But, you know, it's his time he's going to kick on. You know, Retallick's not there anymore. He's going to be probably the senior lock now. And, you know, hopefully he can have a big year. And if he does, he could propel himself into, you know, potentially starting lock calculations for the All Blacks. And he's good enough. He's really athletic. He's got all the ingredients are there for him to be successful. So, you know, it's up to him now to really kick on. And I like that point you brought up about Quinn Tupuia. He's another guy who I really like. A long-term injury, so he might take a bit of time to settle back into his game. But he's still only 24. Probably a few established guys ahead of him in terms of All Blacks, but you know, if he can get back to what he was prior to his injury, and I think his combination with Leonard Brown as well, I think them two work really good in tandem, so and that could be lethal for them. So, yeah, I talked about the losses, but I still quite like the Chiefs, similar to you. I think they're going to be there or thereabouts. Hopefully they play the Blues in the final, but yeah, we'll have to see what the Chiefs, what the Crusaders and co look like. But yeah, I'm quite high on the Chiefs. I think they can finish in the, make it at least to the semis with the team they've got, and they'll have some good luck with injuries. So, yep, that's the Chiefs. Any more you want to add on the Chiefs before we move down to the next lot?
No, let's move on.
All right, nice. So, where are we? Chiefs, bottom of the North Island, are the Hurricanes. So, yeah, and again, similar theme, a lot of departures. So Owen Franks is gone, Dane Coles, Adi Saviel gone. So some of, you know, their more experienced players, some of their leaders. On the positive side, Brad Shields. He's a former Canes favourite son. But he's back from... where was he playing in Europe, I think? Yeah, he was in England, an international, wasn't he? Back to his hometown there. So, fifth last year for the Canes. So, that's actually pretty decent. I know I had them quite low when we did our preview for 2023. So, fifth isn't too bad. Yeah, mate, the Canes. What do you make of the Canes?
It's different to the other teams. Mainly because up front, I feel like they're weakened, especially in the propping department. You know, they haven't got anyone there in the propping department that really stands out for me as someone who, other than maybe Tyrell Lomax, who really stands out as someone who can be the enforcer or you know, lead by example. If Tyrone Lomax gets injured, for instance, like, who's going to step up? No one knows any of the other players. Then you've got, obviously, Colsey's gone. Asafo Almoa really needs to step up now and really own that number two jersey. He's spent far too long in the shadows of Colsey and, you know, New Zealand rugby as well. It's Cairns rugby and possibly the Lions held on to Colsey for too long. You know, I mean, was Colsey of the Lions? Is that his team? Yeah. So, you know, so he is a player who is world-class, but at the same time, I think, you know, even world-class players have an expiry date. And unfortunately for Colsey, he probably expired well before he actually stopped or moved on. Then you've got the backs, or you've got the locks and the Lucys. The locks have players like James Tucker, Isaiah Walker, Leawere, who are probably the most, and Justin Sangster possibly, who are the most well-known of all those locks. Then you've got loose forwards like Duplessis Kirifi, who I'd like to see more of as a leader. Brad Shields is back. That'll be interesting to see, you know, the England defect. then you've got two really good prospects in the old head of TJ Perenara and the young buck who seems to be making a real big name for himself in his career, Cam Roygaard. Unfortunately for the third guy, Richard Judd, I'm not sure he will see any game time this season because of those other two. So, yeah, it's going to be a struggle for Richard Judd, but, you know, I'm really excited when I see Cam Roygaard named in any team. That guy just, he's got bits of the good parts of every good halfback that we know in New Zealand. You know, he's got Brad Weber's speed. He's got, you know, a bit of Aaron Smith's nous. You know, he's got TJ Perenara's wily ability. And, you know, Cam Roygaard really has a go. That's what you want to see out of your halfback, you know, a halfback who's fearless and just has a go in any crunch time, any, you know, rush hour moment. And then you've got the midfielders and first fives. First fives are largely unknown to me. Aidan Morgan and Brett Cameron. Not sure how they'll go this season, but I guess they'll go all right. They're the ones who have been picked. The midfielders, Baylen Sullivan, I want him to do well. Peter Meyer-Jensen, he's a favourite of mine. I want him to do well. Jordy Barrett, he's someone who needs to step up and lead, as he always does. And then you have the outside backs and Kini Naholo. I want to see him with more ball in hand. He's exciting to see. Salesi Reyasi. I don't know too much about the other players, though. Harry Godfrey, Ruben Love, Josh Morby, Ngatungane Bunivai. Don't know too much about those players. But, yeah, it'll be interesting to see who steps up into those outside back positions for the season, whether they mix them up and give them, you know, a chance to, you know, rotate, if you like. So, yeah, it's good to see Brad Shields back, you know, the former England international. And see how long he actually takes to adapt back into the New Zealand game. The key losses are obviously Ardy, Colsey, and those two in itself are huge losses to that franchise. So we'll see how, you know, the Canes actually go. I'm not betting on them to do too well this season, but we'll see. With Clark Laidlaw as their coach, we'll see if they actually react to him well and get the job done. But I'm not betting on them to be in top four.
Yep, nice in-depth look there. Sounds like we might be on the same page. So the thing that I was really looking forward to was really the two nines that they got there. So Roygaard, like you mentioned, his stints in the All Blacks, he only got a brief look, but He looked good during the brief look that we saw of him. And you're right, he's got a little bit of everything. He's quite a bigger guy, quite strong, doesn't mind having a run down the blind side and stuff. Still got a good pass. Takes a couple of steps and gets going. So, you know, that could potentially be a peek into, you know, life after Aaron Smith. But TJ, at Super Rugby level at least, he has been an absolute beast. So probably one of the best, one of the all-time great halves at Super Rugby. So don't count him out. You talk about Julian Savia, how he's, I think he's one or two tries away from being the all-time try scorer. But I know Perenara, I think he's in the top five, which is weird for a halfback. But he's just that, like you say, he's been that nuggety guy for a long time. Mm. And he's been the essentially the starting halfback there for a decade. And he's not just going to say, yeah, Roy Card, it's all yours now. He's coming back from a long-term injury, but, you know, there's that iron sharpens iron sort of mentality there. And they can make each other play even better, just trying to compete for that same jersey. So that's a real strength of there. A couple of guys that you mentioned, and it's sort of been mentioned as potential All Black guys in the future. So like Ruben Love, Josh Morby, Waylon Sullivan, now, all those young guys, they really have to step up. They've lost a lot of leaders. That's one thing I noticed with the departures that we mentioned, like Colsey and Artie Savia, Owen Franks, Reed Princip, these types of guys. So it's really up to Generation Next now to come in and take over. And some of these guys, if they grab the bull by the horns, there's some All Black jerseys available if they're good enough. So I thought fifth, that was pretty decent for them. I think they might probably finish similar, yeah, just outside the top four, I think, too, similar to you, mate. So, yeah, if we've got nothing else on the Canes, we'll look down to the South Island. Anything else you wanted to add before we move on?
No.
Nice. Okay, we'll go down to the team that you love if you're from the area, but if you're not, then you don't really have a lot of time for them. But the Crusaders, mate, probably the best. Oh, no, definitely the best team in the history of Super Rugby. And the defending champs. So, following on from the same theme, we've got a bit of a mass exodus here. So, the coach, obviously, Razor Robertson, he's taken over the All Blacks. Ollie Yeager's gone. Sam Whitelock, Jack Goodhue, Whanganuku, Maunga, and many, many more have all left. They have picked up Levi O'Moore, who we spoke about earlier. Ryan Crotty returns. Mataele is back. And a guy, Rivers Reihana, from the Chiefs, who I quite like. And, of course, Lee Halfpenny, the Welsh fullback. He comes in as well. So, mate, Joey, mate, talk me through the Crusaders. Anyone knocking them off, or what are you making of the Crusaders this year?
Before I go to the actual players in the starting and the squad, Cody Taylor taking a non-playing sabbatical of most of the season is interesting. Don't know what that's about, but yeah, he's taking a non-playing sabbatical for most of the season. So I'm guessing he'll be back in time for, you know, the business end where he gets to get all the glory. At the expense of Brody McAllister, George Bell, and Ioane Moananu. Okay, great. Nice. Well played, Cody Taylor. But I guess if Rob Penny, the head coach, is okay with that, then and the team are okay with that, great. So be it. But look, I think for what they lose in terms of the exodus, the mass exodus, if you like, they've still got a ton of experience. Oh, my God. You look at the squad, they've still got a ton of experience. They've got essentially a title-winning team still. You know, even with the guys who've never played there, like Lee Halfpenny and Levy O'Moore. You know, oh, my God. It's looking like a team that is, you want to at least put some money on them if you're not a guy that hates them and doesn't mind putting the money where the smart money is. But look, it's a for guys coming in, Ryan Crotty, Lee Halfpenny, Leviel Moore, that's going to be exciting. It's nice to see someone like Ryan Crotty come back. He's a club legend there at the Crusaders, and he's done some amazing things and made some amazing memories with the Crusaders, so it'll be good to see him carry on with that until whenever. Lee Halfpenny, we all know he's class. Great player for Wales and the British Lions. Leviel Moore, he's someone who probably will want to prove himself on this level. Obviously, he stood out as a standout player for Moana Pacifica, but whether he does that here in a good team like Crusaders, that's yet to be seen. So good luck to him. Then you've got, you know, if you start from the front row, you've got props like Joe Meddy, you've got George Bauer, who's back, Tomaiti Williams, Fletcher Newell, and newcomer Finlay Bruce. Hookers are Brodie McAllister, George Bell, Ioane Moananu, and then Cody when, you know, business end of the season, when he comes back and gets the glory, if they take it out again. Scott Barrett, I think, is a good choice as a captain. I wasn't a fan of his until probably last year in terms of leadership from national level and even Super Rugby level. Quinton Strange is back. Don't know too much about Taylor Cahill, Zach Gallagher, Jamie Hanna. Don't know too much about those guys, but I guess being around someone like Scott Barrett, who has all the experience, they'll learn off him, and Quinton Strange as well. Loose forwards, Ethan Blackadder. Will be nice to see him with ball in hand, or him just running around the park, really. Cullen Grace, who I know you're a fan of. Tom Christie.
Yep.
That'll be interesting to see. Corey Keller, don't know him. Dominic Gardner, don't know him. I'm guessing he's related to Angus Gardner. Christian Leal-Woolley, be interesting to see those players as well in the loose forwards at some point during the season. But I'm guessing Ethan Blackadder, Cullen Grace, and don't know who else, Tom Christie maybe, will have the three spots covered. So Mitchell Drummond, I'm guessing, will be the number one halfback. Maybe not. Of the three, Noah Hotham and Willie Hines. Fergus Burke, Taha Kemara, and Reeves Rehana. Oh, Reeves Rehana. Oh, that'll be interesting to see who gets the starting spot more than the others. Reeves, I'm a fan of from, you know, from up these ways. Then you've got the, you know, the midfielders, David Havili, who's been there a while, and it'll be hard for Leviel Moore to get the spot off him in terms of second five position. Whether or not they play David at centre, actually, I'm thinking they'll put Ryan Crotty back at centre where he belongs, where he's done well in the past, even though they've used him at 12 at international level. Will Jordan, isn't he injured? I'm pretty sure Will Jordan's injured.
They're not sure how long, but he's going to miss the start, I think.
Okay.
So I'll have to check that as well. But yeah, I think you're right.
Sevu Reese, that's interesting. That's interesting. Mecca Springer, Manasa Mataele, Shay Fihaki, Lee Halfpenny, Jeremiah Murray. So Will Jordan, Sevu Reese, and Lee Halfpenny will probably be the ones that get picked the most out of those guys for the outside backs. But yeah, all the best to Whitelock, Maunga, Whanganuku, Goodhue, Robertson. Obviously Robertson's got the national team now, so it'll be interesting to see how he does there, and who he looks to grab from the Crusaders and how many Crusaders he actually has in the national team.
Yeah, it's interesting. I thought with the losses that they might drop down a bit, but when you talk about who is still there, yeah, that's still, you're right, I think that's still probably the team to beat, which has always been the case. So I tell you what, I really like Omoore there. You know, even though I was sort of a bit bummed out from the Moana Pasifika side, but I think that he could be a gun. And I'd like, if he can somehow get the center jersey outside Havili, I just think them two together. Mm. You know, if you think about Havili, he's quite silky. He's got the kicking game, he's got the ball playing.
True.
And that can be a good foil for someone like Omoore, who's got the strong ball carrying, the hard hole running, that sort of stuff. So I like that sort of yin and yang midfield partnerships. So, you know, you think of ones in the past, like you think of Little and Bunce, and you think of Nono and Smith. They all had, you know, different but complementary skill sets. And that's what made them outstanding together as a partnership. So, no, I'm obviously not saying that these guys are going to be at that level just yet, but, you know, just stylistically, I like that they're both potentially complementary skill sets, the components that they bring to at least. So I hope that I hope that move isn't in vain. I hope he gets that center jersey, and I think he might. And, you know, you put him in the Crusader system and watch out. I think he could really push his claims quite hard if he can stay injury free. Maunga, we've talked about him a lot on the podcast. That is a massive hole. There's no way of getting around that. But you think about the Crusaders. You know, they had basically Andrew Murdens for a decade. Then it was a decade of Dan Carter and then a decade of Maunga. So, you know, they just have this procession line of tens. And it's interesting to see who steps up next. You talked about him earlier, out of, you know, Fergus Burke and Rayhana. Whoever gets that jersey, I think whoever starts the starting 10 out of those two will be in All Black this year.
Yep.
Just from what I've seen, the Crusaders just have a way of just finding the next great 10. Mm. And what these two are in prime position. So, interesting times ahead. I also like the Crusaders. I think I might be changing my prediction about the Blues. That was really from the heart. But looking at the Chiefs and the Crusaders, I do think they're both better than the Blues, unfortunately. Yes, that sort of sucks. But, yeah, Crusaders, they're looking strong again, as usual. Mate, anything else on Crusaderville before we move on to the rest of the South Island?
I think, like you say, their season's going to come down to how the 10 does. The 10 will be the game breaker. Because look at everyone around the park for the Crusaders. It's a pretty solid team. It's going to come down to the 10 and how the 10 directs the play.
Yep. And yeah, like I said, they just can find these guys who just turn out to be awesome. So you think about that. They've had Murdens, Carter and Maunga. And, you know, they've just been blessed at that 10 jersey for quite a number of years. So watch out for whoever's the next one in line. It's a lot of pressure to follow on those three footsteps. But I think that they've probably got two of the best young first fives coming through anyway. So it could be quite exciting.
Mm.
Well, we'll take a round out the rest of the New Zealand Conference. We'll have a look at the Highlanders. So Highlanders ninth last year. The only New Zealand team to miss the playoffs. You know, they didn't really have many All Blacks to begin with, but they've lost, you know, arguably their best ever player. Aaron Smith, he's gone. Frizzell, he's also left. So that, I think, I'll have to check this, I think only Ethan de Groot remains as a current All Black there. So there's some other solid guys they've lost. Moreno, who I was always a fan of. Mitch Hunt. Josh Dixon, Umanga Jensen, all gone. They picked up a couple of Crusaders, Mitch Dunshee and Tom Sanders, as well as Tava Tava Nawai, who we spoke about earlier. So, mate, Joey, any love for the Highlanders area?
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, I kind of feel sorry for them that they did have Aaron Smith and Shannon Frizzell to help boost their chances last year. and obviously there was that wonderful combination of, well, pairing of Folau Fakatava and Aaron Smith, you know, throughout the season, doing well with that 9 jersey. But like you say, you know, Ethan de Groot, he's probably the only All Black there now, other than Folau Fakatava, if you want to call him that. But what I'm excited to see this year especially is a fully fit Taniello Telea in the midfield. Obviously, when he was at the Blues, he didn't have the best luck in terms of injuries. And you know, they, I don't know what happened, but he's now down there, and I wish him the best, and hopefully he does well. I really want him to do well. As someone who, like Berafeta, had a stint of injury, and you know, Berafeta's come back and actually done well in his the last couple of seasons. So it'd be nice to see the same for Tanya Tolea and see him get a starting spot this season. I don't know too much about the front rowers other than Ethan de Groot, you know, and Daniel Lennart-Brown. The others I haven't really heard too much about. The hookers, don't know anything about Henry Bell, Ricky Jackson, Jack Taylor. Know nothing about them. Putty Parkinson's probably the only, and Will Tucker, the only locks that I've heard of the four there. Oh, sorry, Mitchell Dunshee. Loose forwards to look out for. Damn, I've heard of none of those guys. The loose forwards. So it's largely a new squad. If you're coming with a largely new squad of forwards, then you better have some awesome backs. AJ Faleafanga, first five, Cameron Miller, Reese Patchell. Again, these are unproven players, and hopefully they get to do well this season. Connor Garden-Bashup, I want to see him do well. You know, he's been there a couple of seasons now. Even Jacob Ratumaitavuki Nipkins, he's been there a couple of seasons. Timothy, he's now there. You know, after a strong season with Moana Pasifika, obviously he was one of those guys that New Zealand Rugby have poached for their team, their franchises. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see if these guys can beat out the Hurricanes for Wooden Spoon.
Yeah, could be a tough year being the, if you're a Highlanders fan. Yeah, they've lost, yeah, I think they had three All Blacks last year and two of them are gone. So it's quite slim pickings there. You touched on something which I'm also agreeing with, Fakatawa. So he served a great apprenticeship under one of the all-time greats in Aaron Smith. But now it's his time. He has to be awesome if they're going to get anywhere. And I'm excited to see a guy you mentioned as well, AJ Faleafanga. I'm excited to see how he goes. So he was another gun from St. Peter's. I'm not sure what happened there, but he was one of the best juniors that I saw at A-grade level. And I would have hoped that Auckland and the Blues would have done more to keep him. Still only 21, so he's still finding his feet at this level. But potential-wise, mate, it's through the roof. He could be special. But looking at the names you picked, there's not a lot of guys that I've heard of as well. It's a real turnover of players. And if they come higher than sixth, If they make the playoffs, I'd be happy with that. I'd be surprised as well. So they missed out ninth. And I don't see them doing any better this year. So could be a long season. I know their fans are probably, they've got some diehard fans who are probably listening thinking, oh, come on, mate. There's someone there. But yeah, could be lean for the Kings for them this year. But mate, anything else on the Highlanders before we move on to our next lot?
No, that's it.
Yeah, nice. So we'll look at the Aussie conference. We do have some Aussie listeners out there. So, you know, a poor World Cup campaign for the Wallabies, and a lot of their players will be looking to bounce back. So we won't go through all the teams, all the Australian teams, but do you see much threat from the Aussie teams and anything from the sort of that side of the Tasman that you want to touch on? With Australian perspective,
I think even before the season, it's kind of a little bit uncertain whether they will do well this season. Just with the what's been there in the media, with especially with the Rebels and Moana debacle, the plans that they supposedly had, and New Zealand rugby getting involved in that, and I don't know, and Australian rugby getting involved in that. Sorry, I don't know what the plans are there, but I think they're just trying to I don't know, cause some drama to distract from the real the real problems that are happening. I don't know. Clubs tend to do this kind of thing when they don't want too much attention on the right things. So, yeah, I don't see too much of a threat as such from the Australian Super Rugby teams. I mean, I don't even know the core players of each squad yet, so it's hard to judge based on that. I guess time will tell in terms of when the season starts.
Yep. The Brumbies, sort of the last couple of years, that's been the standout team from the Australian Conference for the past couple of seasons. And I think, just having a rough look over, I think they look the best team again. So that's the team to beat on the Australian side. But, gee, yeah, some of the issues you're touching on there, they've got financial issues, they've got a lot going on. So it's like rugby's dying a slow death over there on Australia. And hopefully, you know, some of these sides can put in some solid performances, you know, for their fans and also for the legitimacy of the competition. It just feels like a mishmash of average teams in Super Rugby these days. So it's hard to get excited about some of it. I wouldn't be surprised. We predicted quite comfortably that it was essentially a three-horse race between the Blues, Crusaders and Chiefs last year. And there's sort of just different machinations of who's going to finish first, second and third. And that proved to be the case. It was like those three and then daylight, even though you could probably say it was Crusaders and then daylight, but the teams that you thought were going to be there were there, and it feels that way again. So I'm just hoping that some of the Australians can put up a bit of a fight. And it has been the Brumbies. I'll give them credit. They've been the team on that side of the Tasman that has looked the best. So hopefully they can continue that on. And I'd like to see something out of, you know, the at least out of the Waratahs and the Reds, because they've got a proud history. They've been in it from the start, and they should be a lot better than they are, I think. But yeah, just, yeah, like I mentioned, the legitimacy of the competition, this is, it's so boring watching some of these Australian B-grade teams, and Moana Pasifika to some degree as well. You know, you watch a couple of blowouts because there's just not the depth there, and that's where Super Rugby gets a bit, it can be a bit ordinary in some of the games there. But we'll get some predictions from you, mate. Yeah, give me the winner, Super Rugby winner. Who do you think's going to win and who they're going to play in the final? You're going to go head or heart?
Oh, mate, it's tough. I think if Australia do get to the final dance, it'll be either the Brumbies or the Reds that makes it through. But I doubt it. And the two teams I think will make the final, once again, will be Kiwi teams. And those Kiwi teams will be Crusaders for sure. Definitely want to put money this early on the Crusaders to make it all the way to the final. They'll probably drop a few games as they always do in the beginning stages. Give everyone the confidence and then come back, because it's the end of the season, and just blow everyone out of the water and shatter everyone's dreams. And Maltese, by the way. Crusaders will be with the winner of the Blues and Chiefs. The Blues will really need to do some hard work this season to be up to the level that the Chiefs will bring. They had that win against the Chiefs last night, but that's no indication of how it's going to be. So it'll come down to whoever is the stronger out of the Chiefs and the Blues come business end versus the Crusaders.
My head agrees with everything you said. But I'm gonna go with the heart. I like the Blues, mate. I think the Crusaders will be there, so I like the Blues to beat the Crusaders. Mate, preseason champs, 3 from 3.
That'll be Blues. Nice. That'll be nice for the Blues to beat them at Eden Park as well.
Yep. I think I touched on this earlier. The depth in the Lucys is really strong. Supapali'i, Akira, Hoskins at 2-2, Senia and Choke, there's some really strong depth there. But it's really some of the generation next really got to step up and start to fulfill that potential. So guys like Zane Sullivan, who's been talked about for a bit now, he's got to start fulfilling that. Peter Fetta's another one who's been earmarked as sort of someone who's going to be something. And, you know, without Bodhi there, you know, it's essentially, I feel like this is his team now. And he's got to he's got to take the team and take them forward. So,
yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I'm going to go the Blues, not with the most confidence, but, yeah, heart. I'm going with the heart. I'm going to pick the Blues to take it out.
I don't think that's a bad shout. I don't think it's a bad shout at all, especially given the Crusaders. Do you call them weakened without Maunga? Yeah. Maunga not being there is going to prove to be their undoing at the end of the season. If a Blues first five or a Chiefs first five steps up and takes, you know, the season by the scruff of the neck and says, this is my season, I'm breaking out, and, you know, you're going to remember the season as being my season where I wrote my own name on that All Blacks team list.
Yep, yep. Although, you know, I had similar feelings when Mertens backed it up. I thought, oh, well, that's it. Who's gonna lead them that round? And then Dan Carter came along. I thought, oh, okay. Then Carter left. I thought, oh, well, that's it. And then Maunga. And so it's sort of like, gee, this progression. But you're right. If there's ever a time to take the Crusaders, it's probably now. Because you're right. I think that as great as those guys were, it did take them a few years to sort of really find their feet. So big asks on these young fellas. But... you actually give me a bit more confidence now. I'm gonna stick with the Blues, but look at the players. Give me sort of a standout player or someone you really got your eye on for the tournament going forward. I know you're actually quite good at this. Both you and Roger are quite good at getting this one.
Okay, this is a good one. Depending on game time he gets with the Crusaders, I think Le'Veon Moore can really become a bolter in All Black selection if he gets, one, gets enough game time, and two, gets a first five who can unlock his talent. So he's one to look out for. Another one I would look out for in terms of a breakout season, I'm not sure Taniela Utele'a has the guys inside him that can unlock his talent, but he's another one to look out for. I think, you know, at midfield, he's probably better off than he was on the wing, where he was wasted at the Blues and at Auckland. But I really want Josh Iwane to step up and really own that number 10 jersey at the Chiefs. So, dependent on their season, Josh Iwane is the one I would look out for if he gets more starts than Damien, or if they play Damien in other positions. Josh Iwane is the guy I would look out for as a game breaker, as someone who will, you know, vie for that 10 jersey against Perifeta. Perifeta, I think he's a good player, but I'm not sure this will be the season that he stamps his mark, just because I'm not confident of some of those players in the forwards being able to provide that platform for him to work off. And I was a fan of Finlay Christie, but just watching him probably the last season, and even at the World Cup, I'm not so sure anymore, especially with, oh, the guy I should have said from the start, my number one player, Cam Roygaard. He's the one to watch out for. He's going to be my top pick of all the players to watch out for. Cam Roygaard, if he gets game time, over TJ.
Nice. So just for our listeners, I know when we did this last year, you picked Mark Talia as a standout player, and he was. He is the Blues Player of the Year, and he was close to Super Rugby Player of the Year. And I think, was it not last year, but the year before, you picked Hoskins at 2-2. out of nowhere. I thought it was going to be a bench warmer all year because that was when Akira was still playing eight. Yeah. And he just took that jersey and, yeah, got picked in the All Blacks later on that year. So, you and Rog had a couple of good ones as well, but I've been poor at this. And I think you've already proven my point. Your points about Peter Fitz are actually really good. But I picked the Blues to win. So my player of the tournament, and he will have to be player of the tournament if they are to win, is going to be Stephen Perfetta. He's always had that potential. We talked about it before. He's going to be the next this and the next that. And he's been quite sporadic, you'd say. He's had some good moments and some moments where he's been missing or, you know, he's looked a bit ordinary. But, yeah, Bodie's not there. It's up to him. The Blues will win and lose because of how good he plays. So I think he's won a couple of awards. I think he won Player of the Year in the NPC, or might be making that up. Maybe a few years back, he's got something there. Sorry, Joe, mate, you're going to jump in. What are you going
to
say?
Sorry, yeah, just to add, there's two points that I want to make that will determine how well the Blues do. One is how the players react to the awesome coach that Vern Cotter is. And two, what kind of a season Paddy Tupulotu has. If he has a great season, the Blues will have a great season. So he needs to keep injury-free and keep fit because his leadership will be great for the rest of the players like Perofeta to have a great season.
Well, just on that, Tupulotu's picked up an injury.
Has he?
That's a bad thing for you to mention, that they need him to be on the field. He's out for, I think, the first 6 weeks. I don't know what the injury was, but I saw it on, was it the one of the trials?
Yeah.
Was it last week or the week before? Yeah, he's going to miss the first third of the season, I think. So, big loss there. There's some young fellas in there as well once you get past Tupulotu, Sam Derry and these types of guys, so. It's a good point. You know, you need some forward leadership. You need some bit of mongrel in there, someone who's gets into the tough stuff, not just the flash stuff, which is, you know, you can talk about guys like Akita and even Hoskins to some degree. They've got all the skills, but someone's just got to smash some people and run it straight. And that's what I like about Patrick. He just does all the rough stuff. So, yeah, that's a big loss.
Yeah, indeed.
All right, some good thoughts there. We'll keep a close eye on that one because I know we've had some gems from that prediction in the past. We'll probably get Rogers when he can jump on maybe next week or so. A lot of players moving on. We talked about that before, to greener pastures following the World Cup. A new coach in Robertson. So Razor will want to put his own stamp on the All Blacks and get his own players in there. So that means there's a real opportunity for some new guys to claim a spot. So, with that in mind, give me a guy, an All Black bolter, that you think would could come from nowhere. Well, not nowhere necessarily, but just come into the All Blacks for the first time. Or recall or whatever that you think might be worth a look at. Noah Hotham I like. I actually talked him up a bit early last year. But he was outstanding in the ITM Cup, and he was a gun for New Zealand under-20s. So you think Aaron Smith's gone, Brad Weber's gone. You know, the halfbacks are sort of, everyone's sort of moving up a spot in a lot of ways. And he'll have a battle on his hand to get the starting spot at nine there. But if he does, the Crusaders, I think he could be a guy to look out for, and a guy who I've sort of mentioned before. I talked him up already, but I like Fergus Burke. So he was NPC Player of the Year last year. That means he's got the potential to do something and to be great. And yeah, the Crusaders have that history of finding All Black first fives, so I think he will be next in line. I think he'll take that 10 jersey over Ray Hana, and he will be... He'll be an All Black this year, I think. So a couple of young guys to look out for. on that side. So the New Zealand Herald, they released their, as part of Super Rugby coming up, they've released some good teams. The best ever Blues team and the best ever Hurricanes team so far at time of doing this podcast. So I'm just trying to pull those teams up now. But a bit, it was actually quite interesting around, and some debate around some of these jerseys. So let me just pull this up. So I've got the Hurricanes team here. We've got Mark Allen, Dane Coles, Tyrell Lomax, James Broadhurst, Jason Eaton. Yep. Jerry Collins, Adi Savia, Rodney Sooyalo, TJ Perenara at 9, Bodie, Jonah Lomu, Ma'anonu, Conrad Smith, Tana Umanga, and Christian Cullen. So that is an outstanding backline when you think of Cullen, Umanga, Nonu, Smith, Lomu, Bodie. But geez, some of those tight fives. And it's probably been the downfall of the Hurricanes in recent years. They just haven't had that depth there. They haven't had that type five to keep them going forward. So, you know, guys like Broadhurst, no disrespect to them, but gee, Portito might be with the look, Dion Waller. But yeah, pretty solid team there. I think one, two, just trying to think if there's any current guy. Is there only Artie or TJ and Artie? So, you know, a lot of guys, oh, and Tyrell Lomax, a lot of guys from year to year through the golden periods. But yeah, Geordie Barrett, a guy who probably could have got a look in at 12. I think he, maybe not. Not with Nonu there. But he's worthy of a mention. Corey Jane, who I like. But yeah, some really strong people there. Just looking around, that we've got the Blues, which I'm trying to find now. So Blues, my team here. Tony Woodcock, Mialamu, Olo Brown, Robin Book, Ali Williams, Jerome Kaino, Michael Jones, and Zinzan Brook. That's a pretty solid pack. Steve Devine, King Carlos, Rubini, Sam Tuitupo, Rico Ioane, Joey Vendieri, and Doug Howlett at fullback. Yeah, some interesting ones there. No, I actually agree with all of that, actually. Tough on guys like Rokothoko. He's worth a look. I would have looked at potentially Popoli'i. You know, Michael Jones, he's probably had a greater career, but he only played, what, 2-3 seasons of Super Rugby. Although, I know Roger, if he's listening, is probably falling out of his chair. Yep, but a solid team here, and that team is beating the Hurricanes team, I'll tell you that much. So probably my bias coming through there. I think we'll wrap the podcast up because we're having some issues and we'll try and finish some stuff off next week. But yeah, I just wanted to say thanks to everyone for listening. Good to be back. Looking forward to an outstanding year of rugby this season, and I feel like we need it. You know, Super Rugby's been poor. For someone like myself who's watched it from its inception in 96, you think about where it is now to where it used to be. It's nowhere near. So it's a really interesting time after the World Cup, which I've talked about before. You know, you farewell some absolute legends. You think about Aaron Smith and Dane Coles and these types of guys, Brady Retallick. Some of our best ever players have moved on. But it creates an opportunity for Generation Next to step up to the plate. So that's the exciting thing. We should see some new changing of the guard. So yeah, thanks for joining us, everyone. The Counter Ruck is available through the usual podcast platform. So Spotify, Apple Podcasts, YouTube. We're on a few more, which I think you'll close down. but yeah, many, many more. Wherever you find podcasts, you'll find us on there. So keep listening or watching. And don't forget to click subscribe. I want to thank Joey for jumping on, even though he's had some technical difficulties, and Cam's for doing the editing. And yep, we'll be back again hopefully soon.